Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to welcome you to the work session for the City of Cedar Hills. Today is Tuesday, August the 16th, 2016. I currently have 6:05 p.m. I'd like to call our work session to order. Item that we have on the agenda tonight before we go into exec session is a report from our representative, Representative Michael Kennedy, to talk us about the last legislative session and perhaps answer a few questions. And so, Representative Kennedy, if you want to come up to the mic, and time is yours.
Thanks to the Mayor and City Council for having me here tonight. I've got a kind of a part-time campaign assistant who's been trying to schedule me with you, and I'm glad that we could work it out for tonight. I've been your representative now for 4 years. I'm running for my next two-year term. I like to do this at least once a year, and I do recall, and this is a personal feeling, our former council member, Trent Augustus, was quite clear that he wanted to meet me to be here more often, and I've apologized in my head to him many times, just thinking, I wish I could be here more often with you. It's interesting running for office, and I don't know if you found this getting in your position, but there's a lot to do once you get into these positions that you don't really know about when you're first starting to run, and it's a pleasure to serve, but I'd also say to be routinely at city councils, it's a challenge. But I would ask city administration, if there's a way when you do have the city councils, if you could notify me. Otherwise, I have to look on your public website and try to find out when you're having. Just if there's some sort of process you have to say, hey, we're meeting here, the more I get those, the more likely I would be to show up. I do sincerely want to be a part of what I can do to facilitate on the state level whatever you're trying to do around here that is good policy, and I'd open that door to make it easier for me. But in addition, if there are issues that I can help with, please reach out to me, and I'll try to be here as often as I can. But I'm afraid sometimes it is difficult to show up when there are competing demands for your time and my time, sort of thing. So as your representative, the biggest thing that we do with the six-week session is pass a budget. It's about a $14 billion budget. A lot of money, even though it's small fry in the federal budget side of things. $14 billion is chump change to our federal government partners, but it's a pleasure to try to be doing appropriate diligence, making sure that money's going the appropriate way. I'm Vice Chair of the Public Education Appropriations Subcommittee. The legislators, Senate and House, are all broken up into different committees, and I serve on Public Education Appropriations. So out of 6 weeks, I spend 2 weeks focused on the public education budget, which is a massive, complex, almost Byzantine structure as to how that money's laid out for our children to get their education from K through 12. But we do that for 2 weeks, and then after that we do policy. One of the policies that we worked on was Mayor Geege's policy specifically to honor our fallen police force, and through even something as non-controversial as what you proposed, that had to go through revisions before finally we got a bill passed that I hope met your needs, and I did think it met the policy objectives that we had to honor the fallen police that unfortunately we have in our society. So I worked with former Senator Jackson as well as the mayor to get that thing done, amongst other things. Most of the things I look forward to as far as policy, I don't think are earth-shattering. There are some tweaks and changes here and there that I hope to work forward on in a positive way in the next session, but most especially I want to be responsive to my citizenry, which I know you and your area also want to do the same. So I'd want to make sure that if there are any questions you have as to how I can serve you better, I'd be happy to take those questions. But besides that, I'm more than happy to terminate my comments if that suits your needs as well. Are there any questions you have about the prior session or upcoming sessions?
I have a couple. So do you see any issues that you foresee coming up in the next legislative session? Legalized marijuana seems to be coming up in the last couple of sessions. So where do you see that going?
It's really complicated, and I do think there's merit to that plant. I'd say just generically that chemical. The problem is I don't feel like I or anybody, and there are many advocates that feel like they got that all figured out. I'd warn you right now, we don't even have aspirin figured out, and we've been playing with aspirin for hundreds of years now. The reality is every chemical I've ever used in my medical practice, there's an upside and a downside, and all I hear from the advocates is all the good. I never hear the bad. The reality with any chemical I've ever dealt with prescribing to humans, there's problems with them. And before I'd want to endorse those concepts, I want to know what it is. So in spite of the claims of the advocates, including Senator Mattson, who now is retiring, I think we need more information before we proceed on that. But there is a constant drumbeat, and I'm continuing to hear that in the media as well as in my citizens. Kind of a mixed bag. People are concerned. Some are in favor of. I respect the comments on either side. And I think, yeah, it was Gage Frower, who's a representative, a colleague of mine. It's quite clear he's going to propose something. I don't know what it'll look like, but one of the dynamics is what is the stuff in the form of THC or CBD, and how do you prescribe it? The reality is we've not used this on a large population of people, and so I want to know the downside and the upside before we go into that, but assuredly there will be another bill this next session. I can guarantee that, and on some level, the medical community is already responding to that in the form of we want to make sure we have good data.
Okay, you mind if I ask another one?
Please.
So I saw a presentation by the majority leader on Medicaid expansion. It seems as if the House and Senate kind of has come up with a policy where they kind of pay for what they can afford and let it. Do you see that changing at all, or is that the area of comfort where you guys
are? It's a big issue. We balance our budget every year. The federal government has not balanced the budget for a long time, if ever. I don't know where they're at with that, but as you probably know, federally, we've got $18 trillion on the books in debt, and I hear some people claiming $100 trillion in unfunded liabilities that the federal government's paying, and already it's a 70-30 split with Medicaid. You're giving me the easy ones. I'm waiting for the hard questions. I live in the medical world, obviously, up there, and Medicaid expansion has been a big issue for me. I don't want to get into the weeds on that. The reality is that if we make a commitment to an estimated 100,000 people in our society, in our state, who would be on Medicaid, that commitment is undying. Once we sign on the dotted line, until our great-great-grandchildren are gone, we're committed to making sure those people have access. So when you talk about, well, we don't know how many people, nor do we know how much it costs, but go ahead and sign on because it's a great deal right now, I don't think that's a good deal, because this is, on some level, I've analogized, you're buying a large house and taking on a mortgage, and the federal government is going to pay the mortgage for 3 or 4 years, and then after that, you're left with the mortgage. Well, how much is the mortgage? I don't know. It could be anything, and as you know, Medicaid costs have continued to expand over the years, and we will be left with 30% or even 10% of that. I think our state needs more information before we sign on the dotted line. We did make a small Medicaid expansion to homeless and out-of-prison individuals. I thought that was reasonable because those are some of the most desperate in our society, and actually what we could do is fairly well quantify the number of people as well as the cost. And so in those cases, I did sign on that. In general, I'm opposed to Medicaid, but I was willing to buy into that because I felt like it was a number that we could live with for long term. But when it comes to carte blanche opening of Medicaid expansion, all those people that don't have insurance, I think that's still a bad idea.
Okay. Council, you have questions?
So one of the big topics last year was the transportation proposition, and some counties passed it and some didn't.
Right.
And I heard quite frequently in Utah County, from our county commissioners at least, that there was going to be an attempt to bring it forward again, but to pull UTA out completely.
I think that's totally appropriate, and I could support it possibly in that circumstance. I think the UTA lion's share of that tax increase is disturbing to a lot of the people that I talk to, and it was disturbing to me as a representative. So I voted against that bill, even though it passed, and we have our 5-cent gas tax increase plus the, you probably know, it's a sliding scale tax increase over time, which I don't like index taxes. I thought that was really bad policy. When we raise taxes, we should take the hits politically for doing that. So I thought that was a concerning policy. But I have not heard anybody formally proposing another option for the Proposition 1. But if it does come around, then it is something that I'd like to see each community. Our communities are unique throughout the state. And to say UTA must get X number of dollars, that's a little disturbing. I think we need local roads more than we need buses, maybe in my community versus someplace in Salt Lake.
And that was my question. I know that there were many with ULCT who said there's no way this is going to come up again. So that was my question: is it going? Do you think?
I don't think it's dead. I've not heard anybody say I am opening a bill file on that, but I don't think that's dead. And I also, the initial law I think, and I'd have to check on this, but I think the initial law would allow a county to reproposition that if they want. If it failed the first time, it doesn't mean they can't do it again.
That's true. Do you mind if I add a little to this? I've been probably more involved, you know, with this just because of my involvement with MAG. But so we have been working on some language that we hope to bring to our legislators.
And if we need to adjust that as to percentages and then make a tweak to that current...
We did talk about that, and we had a meeting with the majority whip and one of our senators, and I think that and we met with county commissioners from Davis County, Weber County, and they were all open to the idea. Salt Lake County met with them as well, and they were all open to creating some language which we could be presented, and we had worked on that. But I don't believe it's going to be happening this next legislative session. I think that you guys have some other priorities which you're probably aware of. And so I don't think it's going to come up. And the county commissioners, I don't believe they're going to. It's like you said, the county commissioners can bring it up anytime they want. I don't think that's going to happen.
Interesting. Okay. Well, that's good feedback. That's an important issue. And actually, on the transportation front, and Councilmember Reese contacted me about this, the Alpine Highway and North County Boulevard connection across developmental centerland, it's a very contentious issue. And I apologize that my effort, we had a meeting in Highland, it's been 2 or 3 months ago, where we brought many of these parties together, particularly Senator Dayton and Scott Smith, who happens to be a partner of my medical practice, together to talk about the concerns about developmental centerland. And that is an issue I am actively involved in. I drive past that property almost every day and think about how can we make this work, because Senator Dayton, as far as I can tell, and
she's the only one you got to flip.
She's not listening to this, but she could if she wanted to, but she is a rock solid stone mountain against bisecting that property, where that stub out, you may know where the stub out is on North County Boulevard. In fact, her hackles have been raised just about that taking of that property. She is burned up, appropriately so, I think. When they did the North County Boulevard expansion, they seized a small portion of that land, built a stub out where they want that road to go, and that fired up Senator Dayton a lot. She's I think appropriately quite offended that they're saying this is where the road's going to be, so let's get the rest done. She says that's developmental center property, and she's trying to preserve that last little bit for the developmental center folks. That we could talk for another 2 hours on what's going on with that property. I would commit to you, I am doing my best to try to bring these parties together and figure out a compromise. And if it doesn't, so a three-lane road, 45 miles an hour, straight through that property, that's one thing. A two-lane, 25-mile-per-hour road that kind of starts at Lone Peak and then moves south and then back again west, a little less ideal, but still a feasible alternative. Anyway, I know time is short, but I am working on that, and I'm committed to trying to do
though?
Something.
She's not supportive of either of those.
She doesn't want anything, as far as I can tell.
Where does she live? Does she live where she'll...
She's in Orem, but she's been there 20-something years, a long time. She is a diehard, appropriately so, a diehard, committed zealot when it comes to the developmental center. And that place needs protection. Over the years, we got Fox Hollow Golf Course. Do we really need a golf course there? No, it's a fine golf course. I love it and all, but who needs that property more? Developmental center, we'll have these needy individuals ad infinitum. But they sold off that property for Lone Peak High School, the country club, et cetera. Senator Dayton's quite clear on the history, and she wants to make sure that last little bit of now very valuable property is saved so that it is funding on some level the needs of the developmental center.
So
I think that is good long-term policy.
Is she opposed to the development that the state passed? Developing that property?
No, she was in favor of that, but it's a very small parcel of property, estimated, I think it's 8 acres, something like that. And I like that model. In fact, that leasing of the land to the retail, which I think it fits in with your long-term goals as well for the east side of that property, is a great way to fund the developmental center needs long-term without outright selling that land. That's what that little development has done, and it's going to bring money to the developmental center long-term to fund the needs there. But she is concerned about bisecting the property. Subsequently, all of the north property is now committed to whatever, and the south is the only last little bit that they could. She's thinking about long-term building needs for those needy individuals there. I see what you're saying. At the same point, I'd say you can go up as well as out with housing of residential places, and if they've got enough money, I don't see any problem with possibly doing second and third level, sort of just building up. Anyway, there's a lot to talk about with that, but I, along with Senator Dayton, Pheasant Hollow, which is the neighborhood that's directly affected by this, as to the road blazing through, as well as Fox Hollow Golf Course, I think everybody's going to have to give something on that road, but we're working on a compromise on that important issue.
Well, I think that the concern that we have as well is just the sheer amount of density that you guys want to add there without having another way to get
to it.
Which is
very interesting in that already the Developmental Center Master Plan is quite clear. There's roads and houses and retail going in there. So if Senator Dayton and the governing board signed off on that, it's already kind of committed. We're just talking a little bit of a change there. But I don't know if they really want that master plan to happen, at least for right now, anyway. So happy to be a part of that. If you have ideas, I would love to hear them.
Are there any upcoming meetings?
Not yet. Okay. But so we're kind of working the personalities right now on a small level. Thanks for asking.
Okay. Any other questions from council? Representative Kennedy, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for your time. Please be in touch. If you don't have my cell number, I'd love to give you a card with that. Mr. Bailey, do you have it? Does anybody else not have my card?
I'll take one, too.
And please call if you have any issues. That's just my cell number.
You live in Highland or Alpine, right?
Alpine.
Yeah.
So are you a doctor down at Tri-City?
I am a doctor in Tri-City.
Dr. Willis is our family.
I work in Linden.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah, we're kind of separate building, but all the same.
Yeah, we go over there every once in a while, so I'm sure I'll run into you.
You don't want to slow over Linden unless you have to, right?
Okay, council, I need a motion to go into exec session pursuant to two items, real estate contract and also on competency issues. So if someone would like to make a motion on that, I will take it.
I believe we also, on the original agenda, it was noticed for legal issues as well.
That's right. So three items in: legal issues, real estate, and competency.
I move that we go into closed session pursuant to Utah State Code 52-4-204 and 52-4-205-1A and C to discuss the character, professional competence, or physical or mental health of an individual and to discuss pending or reasonably imminent litigation, and that meeting will be held in the Cedar Hills Recreation Center.
Okay. I have a motion. Is there a second?
And to discuss real estate.
Oh, and to discuss real estate.
Okay. Now I have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion has been seconded by Mr. Bailey. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion was unanimous. We would like to excuse everyone except for the council and Mr. Shaw. And we will try and handle this fairly quickly.